Good morning, good afternoon, depending, I guess, on where you are. This is Joey DeNovo Strati, your, what do they call those? What do they call them? Lincoln, help me out. What are they called? They're, I can't even think of it.
Come on, I'm
Lincoln, your host, and this is my dad, Joey DeNovo. What's up, everybody? How's it going? Today's gonna be fun. Just going over the norm of, actually, man, I have a podcast where, it's an astronomy podcast. I don't really get into the conspiracy thing too much. Because astronomy is not anything about alien. It's about, you know, science and, you know, the stars and the universe. Anyway, on this channel, one of the things of mysteries, mistresses, and are the tales that people have about UFOs, and they are mysteries of the unknown. So, Jenny, those are things we will cover, and those are, actually, I love the stories. They're pretty good, I gotta say. Everybody, I hope you're, yeah. Thank you so much. Well, we'll dive right into this. Thank you, Lincoln, for that one. I appreciate it. Let's get into this. Has anyone heard about this story? This is kind of one I'm not real familiar with. The 1965 Velensol UFO encounters. This one has been, I'm not real familiar with it. The key takeaways, well, in 1965, near Valensole, France, farmer Maurice Mass reported witnessing a UFO landing and encountered two small beings with oversized heads and slanted eyes who temporarily paralyzed him using a pencil-like device. Left him just kind of frozen there in time for a minute, apparently. After the beings and their craft departed, the landing site exhibited physical anomalies, including a concrete-like hardened area and decaying vegetation, with soil analysis revealing abnormally high calcium levels. I guess maybe they're milk drinkers. I don't know. The Valensole UFO encounter is regarded as a classic case in ufology, supported by investigations affirming Massey's credibility and scientific analysis confirming unusual activity at the site. Near the French village of Valensole, farmer Maurice Mass was smoking a cigarette, which sounds wonderful, just before starting work at 5:45 a.m. on July 1st, 1965, when an object came out of the sky and landed in a lavender field 200 feet away. Annoyed and assuming it was a helicopter and made an unauthorized landing and ruining his fields, he walked toward it. However, he soon saw it was no helicopter, but an oval-shaped structure resting on four legs. The UFOs have, you know, I guess they have landers. In front of it stood two figures, not quite 4 feet tall, dressed in tight gray-green clothes. Wow. Well, you know, I wonder what, it's like, what do you think aliens on another planet do? I mean, if there's aliens, what do you think they do? You think they sit around and talk about the football game that there was on? And they're like, the sports they have going on. Like, what do you think they do? On it, the one thing that nobody ever talks about is what, you know, everyone has, like, you know, yes, they're real, they're this and that, but it's like, what do you think that these things do? You ask people that are, and that's, you know, when do they sit around and work like we do, go to work to tell jokes to each other and be like, watch this, watch Watch Bob Bobble over there. He's I'm just saying, it's a legit question. I think, you know, I mean, it's not funny. That was nice. Hey, man. That's not nice, Lincoln. That's nice at all. So, after the green, seeing the gray-green clothes, their heads were oversized and with sharp chins. Their eyes were large and slanted, and they were making a grumbling noise. You can imagine what that sounded like. One of the beings pointed a pencil-like device at Massey and paralyzing him in his tracks. The figures entered the UFO and flew away, and the witness needed 20 minutes to recover his mobility. In its wake, the object left a deep hole in a moist area, I hate that word, moist, that soon hardened like concrete. Plants in the vicinity decayed. An analysis found a higher amount of calcium at the landing site than anywhere else. You can imagine that there'd be a calcium site anywhere else in Lavender Fields, but, I mean, hey. Maybe there was. The Valenzuela case is considered one of the classic UFO reports. I don't think I've heard about this. Investigations by official and civilian agencies confirmed Massey's sincerity and good character. Laboratory study of the affected soil and plants confirmed the occurrence of an unusual event. Subsequently, Massey confided that in the course of the encounter, he experienced some sort of communication with the entities. Well, I'd like to know more about this one. Frequently asked questions. What common features are observed in physical traces of UFO landings? That's a good one. Physical traces of UFO landings often include ground impressions, burnt or dehydrated vegetation, and changes in the soil composition, such as increased calcium levels, similar to those found in Valenzuela's UFO case. I wonder what signifies the calcium. You know what I mean? Maybe it's, I don't know. Like I said, they're milk drinkers. How do witnesses typically describe the appearance of UFO occupants? That's a good one, too. Witnesses of UFO encounters frequently describe the occupants as having oversized heads, large slanted eyes, and wearing tight-fitting suits. Traits that align with Maurice Massey's description during the Valenzuela incident. Well, you know, and he probably wasn't lying. I mean, I'm just saying. I don't think that people honestly, I know everyone thinks that people that have these UFO encounters are like on drugs or drinking or something. I have not once in my life drank any type of alcohol that would give me the kind of sensation of seeing anything, honestly. Not even a pink elephant. I mean, I'm just saying, you know. I'm not, point being, is I've never had enough. Oh, yeah, no. Have you ever had any type of alcohol that made you see, especially UFOs and little green men, or, well, in this case, silver green men? Well, all the same, I mean, can't ever say, I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm saying is, like, I find the people pretty credible, myself. Yeah. I've been known to be wrong. Other story. Okay. And by the way, check out my page. Check out my crowdfunding page. I have a thing on there. You can add it's $1, $3, $20. It helps with mine and Lincoln. We go around talking to people, and on my page, you can go on there and check it out. And well, also on my website, I've got to get some things narrowed down on the website. Me and Lincoln are working on it, aren't we, Lincoln? Yep. So check that out when you get a minute. Hit follow as well, and hit like and share my page. Definitely. And man, call in, or if you have 1977@gmail.com. I love getting emails from people and hearing about their stories. But definitely get on my page, become a patron. I love to love hearing from everybody. And, man, I got some cool stuff coming up, too. Other fun things. Abducted by aliens. Believers tell their stories. Oh, boy. Well, now. That was cute. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. I mean, he's playing with his ball today. He's not really into it. All right, so this story, I'm not really a known name. This is a known name. All right. I was probably about 5 years old or so, and a bright blue light would come into the room, and the door would open, and there would be a foggy kind of misty blue light just shining through the whole house. Audrey said, and these two figures would come in. There would be a tall one. They had black capes. Okay. But they were bald and had big eyes. Audrey and her sister called their visitors the bald men. But they're better known in UFO circles as the Greys. You might know them as. A race of extraterrestrials. I'm just kidding. Categorized by the grayish color of their skin. The twins' first encounter with aliens, they say, came during childhood and continued into adulthood. They also believe they've been abducted together on the same spaceship, only to compare stories afterwards. Ow. Like I said, I find it, I mean, that's, and I don't think, everybody be very respectful about every, you know. I don't. We've been together on abductions, Audrey said. We've been up in crafts and seen our house from above. So we realized they are not from here. They are very good at mind erasing, at whatever you want to call it. They'll leave you with bits and pieces of things you can remember. So we do remember certain things of being there together. Yeah, man. See, and honestly, I think people need to tell their stories because, man, when things like that happen, you kind of feel like totally alone. And to have at least someone who can share your story with, it really gives you that sense of, you know. And on here, that's what this channel is particularly especially there for, with cryptids, anything, man. And I'll always be respectful, and I will always listen. I love hearing about it myself. So when asked why aliens would continue to abduct them together, the twins had no explanation. That's the question I always ask myself, Debbie said. Lincoln, stop a minute. That's the question I always ask myself. A lot of times I'll wake up in tears saying, why me? Why me? Why can't this happen to somebody else? Terrell Copeland, a former U.S. Marine, traveled the farthest to attend the secret meeting, driving 600 miles from rural Virginia. Copeland's foray into the paranormal began 2 years ago with a UFO sighting. God damn, Lincoln. He said, was captured on his cell phone from his apartment downtown Suffolk, Virginia. Well, it was an orb of light, he said, just a big ball of light. It wasn't moving. One was solid white, The other was directly across the street from it, up 300 feet above ground, and was changing colors very rapidly. This is not usual. No, it's not. Something's wrong here. Maybe I am in over my head. I'm not supposed to be looking at this stuff, Copeland, 27, who drives forklifts at a warehouse for a living, recalled thinking. But after the video of what Copeland said he witnessed in the sky was posted on YouTube, he said a strange visitor came into his front door. I woke up from the nap by the sound of someone trying to enter my apartment, he said. And I said, who is it? There was no answer. Still, just, you know, you could see the doorknob moving and like a scratching at the door. And I keep a firearm. It was on my table, and my thought was to get up and check. I was in complete paralysis. The only thing I could move were my eyes. And I heard a voice through the door say, you don't need that weapon. We won't harm you. Soon after Copeland said he started experiencing what he calls missing time, during a span of two nights, Copeland said he missed about 4 hours, not as a result of sleep. That's the biggest time thing that, time dilation's a really cool thing. That has more to do with, getting up to the speed of light, which I talk a lot about in my astronomy podcast. The astronomy world is a amazing world. If you have any questions about astronomy stuff, I would love to hear them because I love talking about astronomy. I'm a huge astronomy nerd. And time dilation is a super cool thing. It really has more to do with getting up to the speed of light, which we can never travel that fast because we have mass can never go that fast. Actually, the faster you go, the more you would slow down. But well, that's the problem with that. That's why people, have such a problem with, these UFOs that can go so fast, but, that's why people have such a weird, issue with the whole thing about these UFOs. One of the many implications of Einstein's special relativity work is that time moves relative to the observer. An object in motion experiences time dilation, meaning that when an object is moving very fast, it experiences time more slowly than when it is at rest. For example, when astronaut Scott Kelly spent nearly a year aboard the International Space Station, starting in 2015, he was moving much faster than his twin brother, astronaut Mark Kelly, who spent the year on the planet's surface. Due to time dilation, Mark Kelly aged just a little faster than Scott, 5 milliseconds, according to the Earthbound twin, I think is what it was. Since Scott wasn't moving near light speed, the actual difference is aging due to time dilation was negligible. And you can tell me how good at speaking I am. I hope everyone hears my sarcasm because, in fact, considering how much stress and radiation the airborne twin experienced aboard the ISS, some would argue Scott Kelly increased his rate of aging. But at speeds approaching the speed of light, the effects of time dilation could be much more apparent. Imagine a 15-year-old leaves her high school traveling at 99.5% the speed of light for 5 years. From the teenage astronaut's perspective, when the 15-year-old got back to Earth, she would have aged those 5 years she spent traveling. Her classmates, however, would be 65 years old. 50 years would have passed on the much slower moving planet. It's kind of one of those things where you're like, okay, if you're traveling this way at 50 miles an hour and a train's going that way, well, that, I mean, Einstein nailed it with everything's relative to where you're standing or where you are. We don't currently have the technology to travel anywhere near the speed of light, but with the precision of modern technology, time dilation does actually affect human engineering. GPS devices work by calculating a position based on communication with at least three satellites in distant Earth. What's wrong, bub? What is wrong? Whoa, yeah, I know. Lincoln's. Yeah, he's. Those satellites, they have to keep track of incredibly precise time in order to pinpoint a location on the planet, so they work based on atomic clocks. But because those atomic clocks are on board satellites that are constantly whizzing through space at 8,700 miles per hour, 14,000 kilometers, special relativity, 7 millionths.
Whoa, my.
Where are they? Yeah. Or 7 millionths of a second. I'm sorry, Lincoln, stop. Each day, according to American Physical Society publication Physics Central, in order to maintain pace with Earth clocks, atomic clocks on GPS satellites need to subtract 7 microseconds a day. So, put that into the equation, and it gets really interesting. With additional effects from general relativity, Einstein's follow-up to special relativity that incorporates gravity, clocks closer to the center of a large gravitational mass like Earth tick more slowly than those further away. That effect adds microseconds to each day on a GPS atomic clock. So, in the end, engineers subtract 7 microseconds and add 45 more back on. GPS clocks don't tick over to the next day until they have run a total of 38 microseconds longer than the comparable clocks on Earth. So it's really cool. The special relativity and quantum mechanics, man, if you guys want to hear about that, it's a cool world, and it will blow your mind. I love talking about that stuff. You know what? I'll brief it, man. Special relativity and quantum mechanics are two of the most widely accepted models of how our universe works. But special relativity mostly pertains to extremely large distances, speeds, and objects, uniting them in a smooth model of the universe. Events in special and general relativity are continuous, and Dermatinistic wrote Corey Powell for The Guardian, which means that every action results in a direct, specific, and local consequence. That's different from quantum mechanics. Powell continued, quantum physics are chunky, with events occurring. I hate that word chunky. I mean, really, I think we all could have done fine without that word. Thank you, Lincoln. Thank you. I know, that's what I was thinking too. But with events occurring in jumps of quantum leaps that have probabilistic outcomes, not definite ones. Researchers uniting special relativity and quantum mechanics, the smooth and the chunky, our favorite word, the very large and very small, have come up with fields like relativistic quantum mechanics and, more recently, quantum field theory to better understand subatomic particles and their interactions. It's a whole awesome world, man. I talk a lot about that in my astronomy podcast. quantum mechanics is amazing. And until you really, I love talking about this. So if you ever want to talk about that, man, definitely let me know. I will talk hours on end about that. Yeah, for sure. But I have these other stories I've got to get to. But I will. I love. I'll always talk about this if you guys would like to hear about it. I have got these other stories that I've got to. Man, I've got to take a break. I'm at the about the bottom of the hour. I've got to take a break. But this is gonna be awesome. I know. Hikers and campers shared stories of the most disturbing and creepy things they've seen in the woods. We all love these stories. I will be back. Don't go anywhere. I won't leave you just sitting here bored. I will leave something fun for you to listen to, and I will be right back. Don't go anywhere. Since we're all talking about quantum mechanics and all that fun stuff, we're going to talk about... Hey, what's up, Roya? Oh, cool. Hey, what's up, Roya? I think, did I hit that? Hey, what's up?
Hi. Hello. Hello. How are you?
Oh, man, I hope my phone's not. Hang on.
You are good? Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hello. Roya, I'm sorry. I'm having horrible...
No voice.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
How you doing, Roya? Are you there?
How you doing?
Can you hear me?
No understand. Sorry.
No. Can you hear me? How you doing? Maybe my phone. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. My phone might not be working well. Are you doing okay? How's it going? Can you hear me? Hello?
Where are you from? Huh?
I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Where are you from?
I'm from Iran, Tehran.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. Oh, very awesome. Have you been listening to the show very long? Yeah. Oh, right on. Right on. How's your day going? What are you up to today?
Translate writing. Okay.
Oh, awesome. Well, that's awesome. Do you like hearing...
You like,
what, I'm sorry?
I'm like, yeah.
You like the show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Do you have any fun stories you want to tell? Any creepy stories? You ever run into anything creepy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You can go ahead.
یکم متوجه میشم سبکن رایتین کنم اوکی زیاد نمیدونم چی میگیم
It's okay Can you hear me very well?
Yes, I'm okay. Mm-hmm.
Good.
I'm good.
Where are you from?
I'm from Iran, Tehran.
Oh, cool. Oh, wow.
Yeah, Iran. I'm Iranian from Tehran.
That's cool. are you, how far is that, in what country is that from?
39% writing.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool. Thank you for calling in. I love it when people call in. Do you have any cool, do you have any stories you want to tell?
I don't know what are you saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, you're good. Well, you can hang out. Yeah, you can definitely hang out. If you have any stories or have anything you want to say, let me know. I'm going to tell these stories. I've had stories, hikers and campers shared stories of the most disturbing and creepy things they've seen in the woods. Mm-hmm. Do you ever go camping? Do you ever camp much?
Oh, much?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Has anything weird, anything creepy ever happened?
Happened?
While camping?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good.
Sapcoin, you understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mimiduna. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. you are kisses.
Mm-hmm. I'm what?
Is me here?
Oh, I don't know. No, I think, hello? Did I lose you? Hello? My name's Joey. Lincoln, stop it. My name is Joey. I think I dropped. I can't click on there. But I'm about to take a break. Stay on here. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. But I'm going to leave. Since we're talking about universe stuff, I'm going to leave about universe stuff for just a minute. But I will be right back. Don't go anywhere. I've got some real cool stories. Roya, don't go off. Stay on there. I'll be right back. Shorty Five, what's up? What is up? All right, I'm back. What's up, everybody? How's it going? You guys having a good day? I mean, like, what's going on out there today? Because I don't know. It's like going on, but not really. Roya, thank you for calling in. Definitely, if you need, you know, call in if anyone has any stories. Speaking of time dilation, but I have some stories that I want to tell before the show ends in about 20 minutes. I get these emails, and I've got these hikers and campers that share stories of the most disturbing and creepy things they've ever seen in the woods. They're kind of fun. I dig them. I love it when people email me. Shorty Five, what's up? How have you been doing? I haven't. I usually have my other podcast, but me and Lincoln started this one, and it's been a lot of fun actually. Pull these emails back up. All right. Shorty, I hope you're doing well. Hit me up. I love hearing from everybody on here. Roya, thank you for calling. Call back in if anyone has any stories. I think I've got about 20 minutes. But so if you've ever spent a night in the woods, you know how everything goes bump in the night. The second that the sun sets, the trees and wind play tricks on you. And things that would otherwise seem completely normal freak you out. The stories below aren't about normal occurrences. Below a bunch of hikers, campers, and park rangers that share stories of the weirdest, creepiest, most unsettling things that they've ever seen in the woods. I like this part of the day. The first one's kind of just ha-ha, really, because you can easily just imagine how disturbing this must have been. The rest skew much more. What the fuck, though, I guess. This ended up being funny, but at the time, freaked me out at first. Where did I? There. Anybody here okay on that? Okay. My wife and I were camping in one of the national forests in the mountains in North Carolina. We were in a campground, but not a lot of people there, and the spots were semi-private because of the trees and foliage. So we had just settled down in the tent, and I was just falling asleep when Through my eyelids, the whole tent lights up. I jump up and go out of the tent thinking someone is messing around. Not a soul or any noise, nothing. I go back in, lay down, and just falling asleep again when it happens a second time. Same routine, jump up, check, and nothing. So this time, I lay down to stay awake and have the tent unzipped, ready to jump out and catch whoever is shining a light on the tent when it all lights up again. And I saw what it was doing right away. Fireflies were landing en masse on the tent, and then they would all light up at once. I guess when I would jump up, they would fly off, then settle down again after I got quiet. I had a good chuckle over that one in the end. That's pretty funny. Hey, it happens, man. I didn't say these are all like great. I mean, you know, scary, but that was pretty good. Pacific Kestrel. I was on a road trip with a friend, and we hiked into a trail in Colorado one evening to camp so we would have to pay for a campsite. Yeah, I know that one. Found a little clearing by a stream. My friend set up a tent while I decided to sleep under the stars. Right as we were getting ready to go to sleep, another woman showed up and pitched her tent in the clearing as well. I hadn't been feeling well that day. Plus, we had to hike in with all this stuff. So when I slept hard. Woke up to a stranger shaking me, and asking if I saw where the bear went. Bear? What bear? Then I look up and see the woman's tent just shredded. Turns out she had left her food in her tent that night. We hung ours from a tree, and a curious bear came by at like 4 a.m. to have a snack. Damn. In tearing into her tent, it ended up raking a claws across her forehead as well. Wow, she decided to get the fuck out. I don't blame you. Though why she didn't bother waking either me or my friend up to let us know about this very hungry bear nearby, I don't know. Anyway, pretty freaky thing to wake up to. Yeah, that is pretty. That would freak me up out. This one from The Walking Dude. I used to spend a lot of time solo camping and around the Indian Peaks Wilderness in Colorado and experienced some weird stuff. Nothing that was outright supernatural, but just unsettling. I love those woods, but they give me the creeps. Here are some notable examples from 4 or 5 trips up there in all the seasons. One, after thinking that a particular area under a tree and against a rock looked like a great place to set up for the night, I found a shredded sleeping bag and old, must have been 20 years or so, camp supplies. Found a lot of bones around the site too, ribs and vertebrae, probably elk, but maybe not. I camped elsewhere. 2, found a deer skull out in the middle of the recently frozen over lake pond. Well, that's a good place for it. Major snow the night before, and the skull was sitting on top of the fresh powder with no tracks around anywhere. Huh. I could see and no other bones. It was very odd. Wow, that is kind of odd. 3, woke up to a squirrel literally nailed to a tree outside my shelter. Wow. I had made camp late and tried dying light. So I might have not noticed it before the night before, but I think I would have, which means it happened sometime while I was asleep. Oh boy, man, that is one of those things. This one from Low Tier Computer. Buddy and I were hiking at dawn during a camping trip, walking along a path, and I hear a zing like a bird chirp by my ear. A second or so later, a tree kind of pops next to my buddy. Huh. It's at this point we realize there was an accompanying crack and we'd been shot at. Oh, wow. We informed it to the park ranger around noon. He ended up finding an old guy hunting illegally. Not sure if it was him or if he was charged with anything. Wow. That'd be fucking fucked up. You know, hearing all that, wow. This one at Rat Sate his Socks. Camping with two friends, middle of the night, all three of us inside square dome tent, just chilling out, chatting, and the lights went on. Lights are on. One side of wall begins to cave inward, as if strong winds or something. One pushing on the side of the tent. Everyone is freaking, but I assume wind. Chill the fuck out, guys. Proceeds to jump up and punch tent wall. Connect with something. One feeling of punch flesh is unmistakable. Wow. This is hard to read. Now I freak the fuck out. What? Who did I just punch, though? The tent wall. Convince friends it's smartest to have a look outside the tent, but it's 15 minutes later by the time they agree, and there's nothing out there. Okay. Well, that wasn't hard to kind of read. That would freak me out. Next one. It's Hurrah. What's up, Shorty? How you been doing? This one, that was hard to read. So, Itsurah is the name of this one. When I was a kid, about 12 or so, my dad would always wake up in the middle of the night to go hunting. I fucking hate hunting. That's not me saying this, quote this. A few weeks prior to this night, I saw an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? About the Jersey Devil. I was on edge because I knew my dad would wake up to go hunting soon, and we sometimes hunt in Jersey. Sorry. Sure as shit, he wakes me up one morning at like 3 a.m. and we are off to the woods in Jersey in pitch black so that he could be there and all set up before the deer come out. I'm up the stand, starting to calm down when I see a little figure on the ground. It's human with a face I can barely make out since it's a bit far in the distance. But I know it's human, and it's like 2 or 3 feet tall. I'm losing my shit but don't want to say anything because I know my dad will just tell me to suck it up. I stare at this little thing for at least 4 hours until we get down from the stand and walk toward it to leave. It's a fucking lawn gnome. Miles and miles into the deep woods. There's no roads or for a long while, and certainly no houses. How the fuck did the gnome get out there? The stand we were in wasn't even a permanent stand. It was put up there when we got there. When we got there. It was one we put up there when we got there. How funny. Wow, these are kind of hard to read, but still, I love them. This one from the Kiesler. All right. Just a few weeks ago, we were on a road trip from BC to San Diego, and we came upon a campsite just outside of Crescent City, California. We drove through. One side of the campground was relatively empty. I noticed a few scattered tents, but nobody close to the location we ended up picking. We had tons of space. We wanted an early night, so I started a fire while my girlfriend started cooking. We ate, had a few beers, and climbed up to our rooftop tent with our dog by 9 p.m. or so. I had a rough time sleeping and woke up a few times, but finally fell into a deep, decent sleep. In the pitch dark, with all four of our tent windows and canvases closed, I was awoken at 1 a.m. by someone whistling outside of our tent the tune of When the Saints Come Marching In. After a few minutes of this repetitive whistling, I nudged my girlfriend, who awoke, was obviously freaked out as well. The whistling then turned to chanting things like, when you sleep here, you disrespect me. And when you disrespect me, you disrespect the U.S. Marines. Oh. The person would then start spelling out words like F-I-E-E, The verbiage and tone kept getting more aggressive, so we decided we had to make a move. I slowly unzipped the tent while our guard dog was snoring and caught my head out the tent. It took a few seconds to let my eyes adjust and figure out where the person was. I felt more confident once I could somewhat see and hear, so I climbed down and the girlfriend passed me the dog, and she climbed down too. Okay. We flipped the tent up without securing it, and we jumped into a truck while the person was still whistling to a motel in Crescent City. What? The next morning, we drove back to get the few belongings that were in the truck and a family who had been camping a few sites over. Went on for another 2 or 3 hours, and it was the scariest thing their family had ever experienced. Okay. Well, that would freak me out too, I gotta say. What's wrong, Lincoln? What? What is it? Lose your ball? All right, this one from Chai Guy. Was solo backpacking and decided to stop for the night as it was right outside, right around sunset. Got everything set up, and I heard a car on a road about 1,500 feet from my position. Honestly, I didn't even realize there was a road there because it was up a steep embankment, and I couldn't see it. So I hear this car, then it slows, then it stops, then the door opens and closes, and the car drives off. I hear a group of men talking, but they were too far away to make out what they were saying. By now, the sun has set, and the men begin using flashlights. They appear to be descending the steep embankment toward me. I'm not a little concerned, as nothing about this is adding up. I figure if they get any closer, I'll try to quietly escape and leave my gear. They stop about halfway down, and then they start fucking digging with shovels. Oh my god, now I'm shitting my pants. They dig for about an hour and then stop, and I hear the car return. They begin to ascend up the embankment, but before they do, they shine their flashlights down onto my position. I don't move a muscle, and they didn't seem to notice me. I just sat there. Didn't move a muscle for at least an hour after they had gone. I packed up and moved about a quarter mile away, deeper into the woods and well off the trail, just in case they had seen me and were going to come back for me. The next day, I hiked out, found a park ranger, and gave him a map that I had drawn of the area and where the digging had taken place. He asked me to accompany him on the spot, but I refused. Yeah, that's pretty freaky. I'm going to be out in the woods and someone digging a hole. Right? Let's see, where am I at? I'm about an hour in. It's not very yet, damn it. It's not. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not over yet, damn it. Name being. Two tents next to each other, about 5 feet apart, in the middle of the mountain. Had my three little brothers in one tent, and me and my girlfriend in the other. It's nighttime, and we have just put the fire out, so it's dark. Everyone is in the respective tents, snoozing off into dreamland. About an hour later, I'm the only one awake, just daydreaming. Suddenly, I hear soft human-like footprints circling our tents over and over. Confused, I ask who's there with no response but continued footsteps, so I stepped outside. No one. Footsteps stop. I go back into my tent. Footsteps start again. I make my presence known and go back out. No one. Footsteps stop. Of course, I check on my brothers, but they are asleep and sound. I repeat the same process about 4 or 5 times. Believe it or not, laugh out loud, footsteps always stopped. Ended up just going back to sleep as the footsteps and them giving a fuck. I'm not caring. When morning came, I asked my brothers how they slept, and they responded, well, fine, except for you walking loudly all over the goddamn campsite all night. That's pretty fun. That's pretty good. Well, right on. Well, that's all I got for today, you guys. Join me tomorrow. I got a hell of a good story. So, you guys, join me tomorrow. I had a great time, everybody. Have a wonderful day and a good evening. Please hit like and follow me if you haven't. Email me with any stories at jshaddy1977@gmail.com. Guys, I appreciate it. You guys have a wonderful day, and I will talk to you then.